Hi, and welcome to the second of this two-part series entitled Jesus, the Icon of Justice. And in the last post and podcast, I suggested that the imitation of Christ is the authentic lens through which we enter into the justice of God. And for many Christians, and hopefully all Christians, justice has always been an important foundation of our faith. And for those of us who call ourselves new monastics, we would see an outworking of justice as a core value of what we believe and practice. So how we seek to outwork our calling to justice is therefore a very real challenge. It's almost as if the way we do it is as important as the end result. So in this next post, I will hopefully continue to build on the values of the incarnation of Christ as revealed in Jesus through the Gospels of John and extracts from Luke. And I want to start with two really important elements of justice that I personally have discovered over the many years that I've been working in and around this field. And they are two foundational elements to the voice of justice, and that is the announcing and the gestating. So we begin with Mary, the Mother of God. The Archangel Gabriel and the announcement of the conception of Jesus within Mary is the beginning of God's intentional act of turning humanity back towards its original purpose. So God begins this work of salvation by miraculously appearing in the margins of society. And it is unfortunate that the Protestant Church, by marginalizing Mary, has robbed so many of us of the radical impact of this moment. Let's reflect for a moment. Heaven, through its ministering angels, announces the coming of the Son of Man through the body of a poor adolescent, thus demonstrating, conversely, that the incubation of justice does not happen in the luxury of a limousine or in the privilege of a lawyer's frock or in a political process like an act of parliament. These are not the environments where justice originates. Justice arrives in the womb of a poor woman from among a people who are militarily occupied by a foreign power. If we take this analysis a little bit further, and contemporize it for a moment, we could say that justice arrives in modern history through the life of a poor, racially oppressed black woman who refused to surrender her seat to a white passenger on public transport in Alabama. He has cast down the mighty from thrones and raised up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty-handed. Justice does not happen by chance. It is conceived in the womb of the marginalized and shaped and contoured by the experiences of the margins. From this context, the body of justice takes shape and is born, nurtured by the experiences of the suffering community until it is ready to find its place and its voice among the people. So once this justice has gestated and has been born and shaped, it is then announced, a future hope that is articulated to challenge the unjust consensus that deforms humanity and actively prevents human beings from their godly way of living in freedom. So John the Baptist builds on this gestation and conception of hope in the womb of the margins and begins to call humanity to bear witness to its physical arrival. John is the voice, that fulfills the other crucial element of the characteristics of our beloved justice. John calls us all to change the way we walk, to turn or repent and cease walking away from God. Justice is announced and embodied in the life of a man, the one we are to walk alongside and whose life we are called to imitate. Yohanan bore witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred in honour before me, for he has priority over me. I am the voice that cries in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord Jehovah,' just as that which Isaiah the prophet said." Jesus, the embodiment of justice, is proclaimed not as a reaction to an injustice, rather as the arrival of the fullness of the kingdom of God in a person in whom dwells the new humanity, the fulfillment of the human aspiration, and an icon of what it means to be fully human. To enter the new humanity of the kingdom of God, we must exit the world system, the dysfunctional order of how we live and behave. Again, the writer of the Gospel of John says and puts these words in Jesus's mouth, "If you had been from the world would have loved you of its own. But you are not from the world, but I have chosen you from the world. Because of this, the world hates you." This liberation of humanity and creation does not reside in the political philosophies of the world system. This is an understandable mistake that many Christians make, believing that in promoting a political or an economic ideology, they are in some way advancing the purposes of God. We must be honest with the biblical revelation and realize that justice is not owned by conservatives or socialists or capitalists or liberals. God is not invested into these ideologies and certainly does not endorse them. The announcement of Jesus is not an intellectual reorganizing of a worldview, nor is it some kind of confessional theological statement that demands our submission and agreement. No. The announcement of the arrival of justice in God is an economic, moral, social, creational, transformational process, a truly holistic fulfillment of the human condition. Justice is established in giving and accepting the spirit of holiness that empowers us to, and this is crucial, walk as Jesus walked. John the Baptist opened the door for this opportunity with his baptism of repentance. John, he painted a world of new possibilities through which people could walk. This new world is an entirely new way of being the children of God. The point here is that in order for justice to arrive, the new reality must be articulated first. As the body of Christ, and the new monastics within that body of Christ, we should be seeking to articulate the new reality, help people to see there is a better way, the original way for humanity to live and breathe. This is the essence of the hope we find in the gospel, the opening up, the flowering of the new landscape of possibilities into which we can enter. And as we enter that new reality, so others will want to join us in it. In the lives of Mary and John the Baptist, we begin to see the emergence of the wisdom of God in action. How Jesus, the fulfillment of the just humanity, is gestated in the margins of society, away from those who are powerful, and how the vision of the coming kingdom of justice is announced and articulated before it arrives in its fullness. But this arrival, this walking into the new humanity, will create opposition. The heralding of the Spirit of Justice in the voice of the prophets and angels may be the announcement of fresh opportunities, yet this fresh possibility is and always will be contested. In the case of Jesus, he was opposed from birth. The incarnation of justice was contested through the imperial authorities of the day and the military institutions that supported the monarchy. That slaughter of the innocents and the flight to Egypt as a refugee continues the incarnational identification that God has with the poor and the marginalized. Jesus was a refugee, was an immigrant, a persecuted child from a poor family that walked in a proverbial migrant caravan to escape the violence of a powerful establishment whose institutional ego would not countenance a threat to its power base and ideological totalitarianism. Hundreds, possibly thousands of children were slaughtered in the name of the state and in the perpetuation of what I am sure Herod would have justified at the time as the defense of the realm and national security. God's identification with the poor is therefore not theoretical or theological. It is not even ethical or practical. It is truly incarnational. Jesus, as the image of the invisible just God, was not just good news to the poor. He was the good news of the poor, as he was one of them. This was not a voice, his was not a voice, that came to the poor from the outside to help them out with social action projects. Here was the God of creation that was birthed from within the poor themselves. This act of redemption was not only an act of mercy and liberation, it was also an act of judgment on the powerful, the elite, and the rich. Why? Because God simply did not choose the privileged and the wealthy as the originating community through which salvation would flow to all of creation. I often reflect that in today's world, Jesus and his family would simply never get visas into the UK or the USA. The system simply would not accept them. They're too poor. It is sobering and sad to reflect on this fact as we witness the abusive manipulation of the gospel by millionaire megachurch leaders who use their platform to convince the masses that their wealth is a sign of God's blessing and an endorsement of their ministry. Blessing or seduction? That is the question. Their model of lifestyle and service is certainly not consistent with the approach that God takes to the salvation, in the witness of Jesus. Justice is anticipated through new possibilities articulated from the prophetic margins of our society. This seems to be the way that God intentionally worked out his grand entrance and continues to work out his grand entrance even today. I would suggest that the body of Christ should do likewise. This cry of the poor from the margins is the voice that calls God to intervene in human affairs, and the body of Christ must always be placed in, firstly and foremostly, in the margins. We can only become what we imagine. We have to change what appears possible. Restructuring the existing system will not work. Societal freedom is in reality a hollow freedom, as it is predefined by the existing political settlement and consensus. In short, The change begins by redefining what is possible within us. This actually is why I'm a Christian, as God foundationally redefines my hollow, shallow political existence and reorientates me to a new way of being. The change comes like a thief in the night. True freedom is the inheritance of the children of God. So as we reflect on authentic justice, we understand it is revealed in the person of Jesus. Jesus' conception and gestation in the margins is always the first sign of justice rising. And when it is matured, it is announced as a new way of being, a way of living as an exemplar of the new humanity. This new humanity is always persecuted by the powerful of the day as a threat to their status quo. The way of justice is the way of Christ and is to be embraced and imitated by the disciples of the Word made flesh.